Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Red Men TV. It is the build-up show, Liverpool taking on Crystal Palace in the early kickoff on Saturday. I'm joined by Ross Chanley and John Machin to talk about this one. Ross, hi.
Hi.
Look, let's boil it down to what it is. We've got Man City in the Champions League quarterfinals next week. As a fan, I could not be less focused on this game. I'm getting into it. We're doing this show. We're doing my research, of course, but I can't help it. All I want to do is talk about the Champions League and pray, fingers crossed, and they should do, that Jürgen and the boys don't feel the same way.
I don't agree with you.
Really?
I think because it's been international football, which collectively everybody hates, because
yes,
it's boring and it's shit. Mm-hmm. You'll hate it. I'm just excited to watch some proper football again. I agree, obviously, on one side, the Champions League football and the derby and stuff to come.
Yeah.
But we're still in a running for a top four challenge, and with the early kickoff, we can put another marker down and potentially go to second place for, I don't know, a couple of hours until Man United inevitably win their game 1-0, whoever they're playing. I just want to see some proper football again. I just hate international football.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Where'd you fall on it, Dad?
I'm hoping that Jürgen Klopp is this side.
Yes.
And not that side. Oh, can't be bothered with this game, lads. Mm-hmm. We've got City next week, forget about it.
Yeah.
The big problem is that it's as much important as the City game,
yeah,
really. And yet, as fans, we're obviously drawn towards the Champions League game. And Jürgen and the boys can't afford to be. But they also can't afford to be losing players injured either. So, you know, there must be a feeling that they'd rather not have it.
Yeah.
You know, they'd rather do without it this weekend.
But yeah, absolutely. It's mad. We're actually doing a show today called the Running Special, which is looking at the last seven, potentially more, fingers crossed, games of Liverpool's season, and how which ones are likely to be the ones that define it. And we're going to be a very, very good show. And in doing the research on that, you can see this next couple of weeks is just absolutely massive for us. And you're both right, to be honest. I mean it more from a, look, if I can detach myself from the emotion of it, absolutely. Look,
yeah.
Top four, you know, particularly with Spurs and Chelsea playing each other on Sunday, it's so important for us just to try and shut the door on fifth place as much as possible. But yeah, you know, again, it's more just the excitement factor. There's nothing glamorous about going to Selhurst Park.
I would imagine that we'd all be scared in case anyone gets injured, but we'd also be scared that we'll lose ground in the race for the Champions League place.
This is where we are, Dad. We're at this point now. This is crunch time. This is what we want. This is what football's all about. This is when we buy our season tickets and we renew our Sky subscriptions and we do all this stuff. This 2 weeks is what it's all about. This is what we go to footy for. It's a chance to, you know, in a fortnight our season could be over. You know what I mean? This is the point. And that's the way.
We'll all be an emotional wreck.
But that's the point.
We could lose the next four games, and that will be it.
Yeah, but
we're not going to.
No, exactly. We're not going to. But that's what I mean. Is on the complete flip side of that, you win the next four games, that's top four pretty much sewn up, and you're in a semi-final of a Champions League. Yeah, that's what it's all about. So, you know,
that's the two sides of the coin, isn't
well,
it?
And the good thing is, Ross, is that I think in Jürgen Klopp, you know, the things that we fear, the things that we fear because they're from ourselves, and also we fear because I think we've had some weak-minded players and not necessarily weak-minded management teams, probably not fair, but we've lacked steely resolve in our squads in the last 20 years, 30 years, whatever. So it's not unfounded for us to have these fears. But if the team feel tired, then Jürgen Klopp and his boys are the perfect team to turn around to them and go, good, you're meant to feel like that. That, you know, to use that as an inspirational tool rather than a tool for the players to curl up in a little ball and hope the world doesn't bother them too much.
I imagine you would have said something similar to the players of what you just said to us. You know, this is your crunch time for you. This is what you've worked all season for to come and do. You know, show us what you're made of. You've had your international fun now. Just come in, smash it out for a couple of weeks and show us what you're made of. I think the other thing as well, from a fan's perspective, is we've had a couple of nightmare results at Selhurst Park, which kind of is like, I don't want to play that game, because we could just skip it and go on to the next one.
Yeah.
But like you said, if we win this and, you know, touch wood, we're through to the semi-finals, that last block, looking forward, it kind of makes it easier for us, because then those games kind of become nothing if we're in the top four.
Yeah.
And you don't have to qualify to go through the qualifying rounds during the group stages. Top four is much of a muchness now, isn't it? Regardless where you finish, I know you want to be above Man United and Chelsea and
absolutely,
all the rest, but you know, in the mindset, if you get to the semi-final, then you can take your foot off the gas. So this, like you said, John said, this is just as important as any of the others.
Is the Hodgson factor just purely for us?
Just for fans, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm hoping Jürgen will just see it as a really difficult game. They're up against a team fighting against relegation, who are going to battle and have some good players. You know, they've struggled this season, but they've got some good players. So they can be really dangerous, you know. So hopefully he will, you know, spot the real dangers in this and have us up for it.
Do you think there's an interesting lesson to be learned from Roy Hodgson's tactical approach to that? Because Christian Benteke, he's been poor for Crystal Palace this season, but he's got a tremendous record against us. You know, the reason why we signed him basically because he was so good against us.
I mean, I've watched City a few times this season on the telly.
City.
City. I've got City on the brain.
Palace.
I've watched Palace a few times, and they're a real mixture of bumbling idiots and really dangerous, you know. And Benteke sums that up completely. There are times when he looks like a world-class centre-forward.
Yeah.
Other times when he just looks like a dope.
Yeah.
And let's hope that one turns up.
Yeah,
but they got Zaha back from injury, haven't they? And he's always dangerous. And they always have a bit of pace. And the crowd at Selhurst Park is just unbelievable.
That's it. I mean, it's funny, we were talking about this the other day, because I'm going down for the game on Saturday. Was that my first ever away? Was that game? What was it? Was it 5-0 we won that?
5-0, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That was it. Let's pray God we recreate that. I'd love that.
If not, it's your fault.
Yeah. If not, it's apparently Steve is telling me on the podcast that I don't think he's ever seen us win at Selhurst Park, and he's not going. So hopefully the stars have aligned perfectly.
Won 2 seasons ago at Selhurst Park.
He's never seen.
Okay, sounds.
He's been. Do you understand what I said?
Yeah, I thought he said he's not watched that much of the day.
Yeah, okay, cool.
we've all seen it.
Fantastic.
I must admit, Hennessy in goal is one of the worst goalkeepers I've ever seen in some of the games I've seen. You know, so there must be more to him than I've seen.
There must be something to do with
it. He has looked shocking.
Imagine they end up putting Diego Cavalieri in goal. And he proved Rafa right. Oh my God, now. Now, the thing about the Benteke, and I wonder whether Roy Hodgson will have taken any notes from the Man United game, because with Virgil van Dijk there, I'm far less arsed about the threat of Christian Benteke. If Roy Hodgson's smart, he'll put Benteke on our other centre-half, and I think that's an important decision then to be made, because I thought, prior to the Man United game, Dad, Lovren was the smart choice, because I thought he was going to be in a battle, and I thought that suited Lovren. Once the game kicked off, I actually felt that Matip was the perfect choice. We'll come on to preferred 11s in a minute, but
you look at what Klopp said, and I think they understand that tactically they got that wrong. Leaving Lukaku against anyone was a mistake.
Yeah.
You really have to crowd him and stop him from getting a decent header in. And I'm assuming they learned that lesson, and Benteke will at least be marked properly.
It was the second balls as well that Klopp mentioned after the thing. It was like there was no one there, and he said, you know, Hodgson, be smart and take note. Klopp needs to do the same thing. Just go, actually, if he moves somewhere, just Van Dijk, just go and follow him.
You're right. I'm more worried that Benteke will just hit one from 40 yards and smack it into the top corner, because that's what he generally does against us,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah. No, it's mad, isn't it? I mean, actually, getting back on the tactical point is that part of me's going, oh, what if Roy Hodgson exploits this? Well, you're right, Jürgen Klopp, they shouldn't be... It won't have gone unnoticed, and you'd like to think that they'll take steps such that, look, Benteke's not as good as Lukaku, as much as we really thought he might be a few years ago. You know, and so it is. It's one of them, isn't it? Liverpool play to the best. Liverpool play with the kind of intensity we know that they can. It should be fine. Get an early lead, and you hope that their heads go.
No, it's that I watched the Man United game that they played, and they were good for 40 minutes. And then
they were really good at times, yeah, in that game, not really good.
But then they got tired.
Yeah.
And their arse got them. They played
City and were unlucky because they missed a penalty, yeah, and ended up drawing 0-0, which is a pretty good result. I think they were the first team to take points off them for months.
Yeah, I think Everton did as well, didn't they, a bit early on.
So, you know, they've got it in them to be difficult, and that's that, and especially against us.
Yeah.
I'm sure Saka might have a point to prove as well, because I'm pretty sure this is the first time he's...
That's a good point. Yeah, we've got a couple of old boys who are looking to stick
Saka will
in the
be in the stands,
face,
sort of cheering people on.
He's been playing for them the past couple of games, I think. Actually.
Well, we'll see, won't we? Either way.
Be taking the protein shakes before.
Right, we're going to come on to talk about the lads' preferred 11s in a moment. But before we do that, we've got some amazing content going on the Red Bed TV at the moment. In particular, the podcast, which is now available in video form. Me and Steve Hoare sat down, shooting the shit about Liverpool.
You're making an Expendables-style action-slash-comedy film about five-side footy and casting ex-players in the five lead roles. Which five Liverpool legends would you cast to be in your fictional five-a-side team in order to make it a good movie? I want to hear yours, and then, I inevitably have overthought this, so I'll give you my how I've categorised my five-a-side.
Do you want all five?
Give me your team.
Grob Lars in goal.
Okay, got that.
He's mad.
He's mad.
He's got experience of like killing people, apparently.
It's true.
From his army days, yeah.
Absolutely.
So,
wow, he,
at least I've got one lad who knows how to use a gun.
Yeah.
Helps, for sure. Sammy Appiah, because I think every action group needs
a Dolph Lundgren of the team.
Needs an Iceman. I've got four of the nutters.
Okay.
So Sammy's the like guy who keeps them cool. Just, you know, follow my lead, and just when they're all doing their mad shit, he's just standing there shaking their head at them.
Have you got Rigobert Song in
your
team?
I have not got Rigobert Song on my team.
Have you got Bjorn Torkavarma in your team?
I forgot he existed, so no.
Okay, so me too, and then he scored an absolute screamer at the cup.
I saw that, yeah, good goal. Javier Mascherano's next.
Ooh,
I think every team needs a little, you know, every action.
You send them into tunnels, don't
every they? Action movie needs a little Rottweiler type lads, you know, like Scrappy Doo style. Yeah. Let me at him. So he's in. Suarez is in.
Okay, yeah.
Very aggressive.
Absolutely.
Very aggressive. Again, bit mad. We'll do anything to win.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally, I've got Craig Bellamy.
Yes.
So basically, he's the scariest, actually, Bellamy.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com. Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Okay, then there you go. If you want more of that, do go and check that on the YouTube channel. If you want more podcasts, more in depth, I'm doing one with Sachin Nakrani, which is going to be up on the redmentv.com, talking about Champions League ticket final ballots. Yeah, why people hate Jordan Henderson, and is this the end of Jose Mourinho? Because it was a bit of fun as well. So go on the redmentv.com, sign up and check it out. Anyway, right, preferred 11s. Dan, what have you gone for? Okay, wow. This could be almost the first week. Well, we're watching it with one or two little talking points here.
Well, the talking points you'd expect, aren't they? Because there's only a few areas where...
We all said while we were doing this, well, actually, you know, Ross and I both said how difficult the midfield was to pick, and yet you said, no, the midfield picked itself, and as it turns out, we've all gone for the same midfield. Is this a pre-reactionary midfield for you to Man City?
No, I mean, that is just a pragmatic one. I mean, Chan's been injured, and therefore, if he's going to play, he's going to play in the Champions League game. Yeah. He's played in all of them, I think, if he's been fit. James Milner as well, European specialist now these days, isn't he?
Yeah.
So he's going to play, and therefore you're left with the other three.
Yeah. No, there's
only Adam Lallana as a possibility, and even England are not giving him more than half an hour. So.
Yeah, and he didn't really get involved in the game either, did he, when he came on the pitch?
He still looked like the best player England had when he came on, even though he hardly touched him.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that, Ross. I think that midfield, it's almost a process of elimination. Gini's not played a lot of football. Chamberlain's not played a lot of football. Henderson probably is the only one that's going to have to drag himself through this next few days.
I actually did it with him with one eye on Man City, and came up with the same result. To be fair, like you said, Milner's being in there. If Chan was injured or not playing, I don't think Chan would have played this game.
I disagree. Only in so much as Emre Chan's played so much football for us because I think he can. I'm not sure Jordan Henderson can. I think we've seen a couple of times, you know, like he didn't make the team against United, did he? You know, he didn't make the starting 11 for that one.
I suspect Ender wouldn't have played this if he'd been, everyone had been fit, but I don't think you've got a lot of choice.
And that's it. I mean, it goes back to what we said, isn't it? Is that no matter which way you slice it, you've got four incredibly intense games in completely different ways coming up. Someone, you can't swap 11 players out week in, week out and hope to maintain it. The big question, actually, and Ross and I have both gone for Nathaniel Clyne at right back. You've gone for Trent. I think Trent's probably most likely, Dad, but can you see a case for Clyne given the Gomez injury?
No.
Not at all?
No, I'm not sure he'll play this season.
Really?
He's been out an awful long time. Why on earth would you put him in as a starter in any game?
So you
never even give him a run out as a sub.
So do you think there's a case then that, because you're basically saying Trent's going to play the next four, or is it a case of do we put a genie in?
I don't know how bad Gomez is.
He's out for a month.
Really? He's out for a month? Yeah.
Okay. Now that you know that information,
and it may well mean that Clyne gets a run somewhere, but I can't imagine that they're just going to drop him into a tough away game at Palace, not having played a game all season when he's been out injured. I just can't see it.
It's a gamble either way,
isn't it? And he's not going to play. He might even play against Everton, who knows, but I don't see him starting a game right away.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think this game has the same intensity as the Derby or the City games will have, which I think will be too much for Clyne. The other option is to start Trent and play an hour and then take him off.
But I'd like to see Clyne get some minutes, if I'm honest, because it's for me, it's that Man City away leg. And I'm not saying Clyne would be ready for playing one game of football against Palace, but I think just in terms of how the games fall, if it just means you keep a little bit in Trent's tank, because that's, you know, we've managed him very well this season. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, we've put him.
Well, maybe
in
now's the time to say, right, you know, we have managed you well enough. You know, you're 18, 19. You must be fit as anything. You can play four games in.
Maybe mentally then, maybe not necessarily fitness. Well, look, don't pull the face, because you've seen how we ruin fullbacks.
But I mean, you know, if you can't get up for these next four games, I mean, what are you doing as a professional footballer?
But we're not necessarily talking about getting up. But I mean, what if he gets the back torn out of him? He's still a young lad.
So we played Klein, who's not played all season.
Well, no, I know. You know. This is the,
that's a gamble, isn't it?
Well, I'd play the guy who's played a lot of games and who seems to be getting better every time, you know.
The third option is Milner at a push.
Yeah, Milner.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's mad how we've got this situation. We've got amazing depth, but it's just...
We've got three left backs now, and
We'll
put Moreno right back. We'll be fine.
No, but these are the options, aren't they? You're looking at Wijnaldum, you're looking at a James Milner, or you're maybe looking at Moreno or switching Robertson over as your alternatives.
Play three centre backs for a game, and
God,
I don't trust three centre backs.
It means you're playing. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure you fundamentally want to be changing the system. It's an option. Let us know your thoughts on the right back situation.
They've switched to three at the back loads of times in games. They haven't started with it, but they've switched if they needed it.
So yeah,
they've got it in their locker.
No. Absolutely. But it is an interesting one. Personally, I'd like to see Klein get a few.
If that's the only way to keep Trent, you know, on an even keel for the next couple of weeks, then.
Well, it's make or break that. But the problem is that. Everything's a double-edged sword in footy, isn't it? Is that great, but do you? I'm not sure. Jürgen will want to put all that on Trent. You know what I mean? Because that's four. You know what I mean? He's cost us. You know, he cost us in the Man United game for a lack of experience. Cost us in the FA Cup against West Brom for a lack of experience.
Well, I think it's a bit harsh to say any cost us in the United game. I mean, give a bit of credit
not
to
solely.
Rashford for his talent, you know, to come back on inside on him. You know,
you're right. Look, there's a chance that he does that to a fully fit Nathaniel Klein. But if he does that to a fully fit Klein, I'm able to go, okay, it was great for Rashford. Whereas, I've got no problem with Trent. I really like Trent, and I want to see Trent play as much game as football as possible. But I don't. I think if there's what that's the only squad genuine concern I have going into these run of fixtures is that Gomez absolutely started Man City for me, without a doubt, because we know what qualities he brings, and the only other option is that we have to swap it. And I don't know. That's why.
I mean, my only worry is the number of games in the short space of time. You know, I mean. I think whoever plays at right back is going to have trouble against City because Sané is so good and he's red hot at the moment. So, you know, that's going to be a difficult area for us, whoever plays.
Oh, my God. Playing. It is Andy Robertson at right back, isn't it? We're going to do the reverse Alvaro Arbeloa from the Nou Camp where we put him at left back to mark Messi. That's what's going to happen. I've seen it. I've seen the future. Come back here on Wednesday night with a right and leave a comment.
The other thing with that is, if you watch the Newcastle game, James Milner was just, he kept switching flanks and protecting either side. So there's a chance he could come in or someone... Like Genie could do that job and just give him that protection, give him a break.
I mean, mercifully, you probably need it less in this game than you do, but definitely for
But it didn't happen in the Man United game.
Yeah,
true. Which is why he got.
Yeah, I mean, it's the time of year when you have these problems, isn't it? And Jürgen's got to solve them one way or another.
Yeah.
I think he's probably got a better handle on it than me.
Yes.
So hopefully, 100%. You know, he knows what he'll do, whatever's best. And it'd be nice to see Klein back again playing. You know, it just seems a big ask to go all season without a game and then suddenly be thrown into.
But here's the thing, you know. But he's fit. He's in training. He's playing under. He's played for the unders. So it's not like we're throwing him in. Welcome back to training. There's a game. Klopp has said as much.
Yeah.
If there was a situation that demanded it, which is the important kind of phrasing, I guess, on that, that he could come in. I just wonder whether this is demanding enough a situation.
Yeah, maybe.
It's also a problem for Crystal Palace as well, because they're trying to predict that you start at right back, because Trent was targeted and has been in several games.
Yeah.
If you turn up and Klein plays, it might be one of their game plans out the window.
Yeah, absolutely. Or equally, you know, you probably would continue with the game plan, trying to see what condition he's in. And let's have a little look then at the teams around us that are playing. United Swansea, I think you kind of hinted at it before, Ross. You can't see anything other than a United win. The only hope is that another 3 points for Swansea is a big ask away from home, of course. Like, is gets them not safe, but it starts to claw them out of that relegation battle.
Their manager seems to get them up for big games, though. To be fair, actually.
Yeah, to be fair, good results against us in Arsenal, albeit. At the Liberty Stadium, which makes a slight difference, of course.
I'm not really going to worry about United now. I think our big fear now is Chelsea, who've, you know, that we've got to play them, and that would, if they beat us, that would put them within a point, you know. So we really need to be mindful of Tottenham and Chelsea, and think, and that's the big game this week.
I think you're right. That's absolutely the big one. Is that Chelsea Spurs is the late kickoff on the
someone there's dropping points, and that's only going to help us if we can get our own points in the bag. That's the key, isn't it?
We've just got a Spurs win there. You know, gives us, and if we beat Palace, and if we can get those points on the board, I've said this a few times, that I don't like those early games. I don't think Liverpool, I don't think Jürgen likes them. But if you can somehow go, I don't care. I'd love an amazing win, because I think we owe Palace one in their yard, a proper one that doesn't cause us to panic at any point. You know, we had that mad back and forth game. Was it last season? Season four. My heart could do with not that. Thanks very much, Liverpool.
We could do with relaxing and just letting our forwards run riot.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think we've done that a lot more this season, particularly against those lower block sides.
So I would like to be able to sit down on Sunday afternoon, watch Chelsea Spurs, knowing that, as I think, there's no real bad result for us, but also knowing that if Spurs was to pick up the win, we would have a 10-point gap over Chelsea at that point, which would be...
Cushy.
Yeah, that means you go into Man City with
six games,
and also you go into the derby as well with a little bit of, if they come for a draw again and you end up only with a draw, it's not absolutely season crippling with regards to the top four chances. So yeah, just another quick mention. So we're doing the running special. So I've mentioned a few things there. Obviously talking about the Chelsea game. My dad makes mention to how important that game could be later on in the season. But will it be? We've broken down the remaining fixtures for Chelsea, for Spurs, for Man United and for us, and really looked in depth and detail as to what's likely to happen between now and the end of the season, and what that means to Liverpool's top four chances and chances of getting further or even winning the Champions League. You know what, because we're eternal optimists. Go to theredmentv.com, sign up, watch that show. It's an absolute better. It's absolutely better. They're not watching it. It's a belter. TheRedmenTV.com, the running special. Get involved there. Gents, thanks very much for watching. Been an absolute pleasure. Drop a like on the video if you think Liverpool can turn over Woy's boys at the weekend. And also, one like is one prayer for Ross's phone, which has fell off his leg four times during the show. Thanks very much for watching. See you all soon. Ta.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in...
opinions.
We do that in every episode, too.
We're professional and unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.